Welcome to Martha Runs the World, a podcast with a new take on running, fitness, and all things health-oriented. I'm Martha Hughes, your host, and each week I present a new topic that is of interest to all runners. Hi, and welcome to episode 264 of Martha Runs the World. This week, I'm going to talk about the rise and fall and rise again of Kenyan runners. This episode is coming out on the day that I arrived back home for my vacation, so I'm doing it ahead of time. I never miss a week, you know that. I always get my episode out on time. Now, both runners and non-runners alike know all about the superstar Kenyan runners. But do you know how they got started racing? Well, how the majority of them got started racing anyway. Do you know about the recent problems with banned substances? And what about the latest phenom to break marathon records who just might be that country's savior? Well, I'm going to cover it all in this week's episode. Eaton, and I believe that's how it's pronounced, I-T-E-N, Eaton, Kenya, sits at 2,400 feet elevation in the Rift Valley in Kenya. It's a quiet village and farm country. With the exception of St. Patrick's High School, nothing much happens there. With the exception, remember. At the border of the town is a sign that reads, "Welcome to Eaton, home of champions." This humble community is home to 34 world champion runners, 35 Olympian runners, 12 world records held in running, and 12 Olympic medalists with 6 Olympic gold medals in running so far. This started with the arrival of brother Colm O'Connell. He arrived in Eaton when he was 28 years old, with the intention of only staying 6 months. He never had experience as a coach, and in a few short years became running's most winning coach in distance running. Instead of relying on textbooks and handed down lessons, he taught via observation. He taught each student differently, depending on their personality. Oh, I wish I had had even one teacher in school teach me like that when I was growing up. And, as I said, he only had the intention of staying for 3 months, but he's lived there ever since. He's never moved. He rarely leaves Eaton at all. The people of Eaton ran in their everyday lives. Even from just being babies, as soon as they could walk, they ran. They run to go somewhere. They run to go to school or shopping or go to work in the fields or just to play. They just naturally are runners. Just a little Kenyan running history before Brother Colm. Before he arrived, there had been successful Kenyan runners. Kenyan runners first appeared in the Melbourne Olympics in 1956. Now, then, Kenya was still part of Great Britain. Nyandika Mayoro placed 7th in the men's 5,000 meter. Mayoro placed 6th in the 1960 Olympics in Rome. Wilson Kiprugut is the first Kenyan to medal in the Olympics. He won bronze in the men's 800 meter in Tokyo 1964. But Mexico City in 1968 brought a surge of medals for Kenya. 3 gold, 4 silver, 1 bronze were won by the fledgling country in the men's events. And it only went up from there. So the priest was on to something when he went to the little town of Eaton. He understood that there were runners here. There were natural runners here. Brother Colm set up a practice work on a track, and the villagers took some time to understand it. They had never seen a track before. They had never run on a track before. It's not how they ran. They just ran in normal life. I mean, these kids ran tons of miles without shoes. They were barefoot. They'd run all over the place. The bright red clay soil was soft and the days were warm, so there was no reason to wear shoes. So he had to get them used to running on a track, to running for time, training, to be a little bit more consistent in their running. Much like a kid might be a natural in math or science, it takes training for that kid to understand the discipline it takes to get through really complicated math problems or science experiments. The same thing. The psychological benefits of living and training at high altitude are clear, but equally central to the St. Patrick's School's success story in the simplicity of life in Eton and the monastic work ethic of the legion of runners you see tearing around the red dust trails at great speed in that village. Brother Colm has since retired, but he still coaches and he still lives in Eton. He started offering camps for Kenyan runners, especially for female runners around the country who didn't live in Eton but still wanted to learn and benefit from his training techniques. This was the first time in Kenya that female runners had been given the chance to run and to actually train. And it was a big breakthrough for females in Kenya. They were given the chance to actually be runners, to be something else other than just wives and mothers. It was huge, and what a great time for Kenya. Brother Colm's coaching focuses on four things he calls FAST, F-A-S-T. Focus, alignment, stability, and timing. They train every day, but they don't do hard runs every day. Some days are hard. Some days they do fast speed work. Some days they do strength. And some days they do slower runs, easy runs, as they call them. For you and me, it would be probably faster than we could go, but it's still easy runs. And if a student starts too fast on those easy runs, that runner's training is done for the day. And then they have to wait till the next easy run day and see if they can go slow enough for an easy run. It's all about the timing and the alignment and the focus. They have to focus on what they're doing that day. It's really, really good training. Of course, kids just want to go bolt. If you watch kids train, they just want to go speed, go run really fast all the time. And that's not really what is necessary for training. The most of the trainers you find today, the coaches, have an 80-20 focus where 80% of your work is easy and 20% is hard. So you want to focus on most of your time is 80-20. And that's also what Brother Cole trains. That's his belief as well. Since Brother Cole's influence, many runners outside of Kenya have traveled to Kenya to find out about the magical village of Eton and the secrets it can reveal about running. Now, the alumni include Ibrahim Hussein, winner of 3 Boston Marathons and 1 New York Marathon, Peter Rono, 1988 Olympic 1500 gold medalist, Wilson Boyd Kipketer, 1997 World 3000 steeplechase champion, Matthew Barrier, 1992 Olympic 3,000-meter steeplechase champion, and David Rudisha, 2012 Olympic 800 gold medalist. I'm sure there are other ones as well, but those are what I found. Many others, world champions, including Rudisha, have homes in Eton. It got so that there was rarely a large marathon without top elite runners who were not Kenyan. Whatever Brother Colm was doing was working. Now, it got to be everyday occurrence that the top runners were going to be Kenyan, of both male and female. But where there is success, there is money. And where there is money, there is, unfortunately, those who seek to exploit and gain for their own profits. In recent years, the country that through a small farming community and an Irish priest who wanted to help youngsters achieve success through running has a crisis on its hands. A wave of positive drug tests over the last decade has made it the sport's latest doping pariah and pushed it to the brink of a sweeping international ban. Now, that hasn't happened yet, but it's right there. Anti-doping authorities inside and outside the East African nation are grappling to get it under control, and they have worked very hard at that. We're trying to clean up our country, says Faith Kipyegon, the Kenya middle distance runner who broke 3 records this year. She's never failed a doping test, but was asked at a recent news conference, like many of her compatriots often are, to account for the more than 180 doping sanctions handed out to Kenyans since 2017. And that is indeed a crisis. That's a lot. That's a ton. According to the World Anti-Doping Agency's report of 2019, between 2004 and August of 2018, a total of 138 Kenyan athletes from all sports had tested positive from prohibited substances. Distance running is the most tested sport in Kenya, accounting to nearly 91% of all tests conducted and 74% of all athletes tested.
We'll be right back.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
Nandrolone, and I apologize if I get any of these drugs pronounced improperly, sorry, is the most prevalent prohibited substance detected in Kenyan athletes and accounts for 35% of all AAFs. Nandrolone is an anabolic androgenic steroid that is prohibited at all times. It is a drug that promotes power and muscle strength. That must be for mid and shorter distances. I don't see where that would help you in the marathon at all. The corticosteroids, prednisone, prednisolone, and methylprednisolone are the most prevalent group of prohibited substances and account for 13% of all Kenyan AAFs. These substances are powerful anti-inflammatories that can be administered orally or via injection. They are IC-prohibited substances and abused by athletes to improve athletic performances. EPO, I apologize for that. EPO is the third most prevalent prohibited substance detected in Kenyan athletes and accounts for 12% of all AAFs. EPO is prohibited at all times, stimulates red blood cell production, and improves cardiovascular endurance. EPO is only administered intravenously or by injection. The doping practices of Kenyan athletes are unsophisticated, opportunistic, and uncoordinated. Doping in Kenya is drastically different from all other doping structures discovered elsewhere in the world. And this is important. Based on the substance detected, Kenya athletes most commonly use nandrolone and EPO. Athletes in Kenya are insufficiently educated on doping and or willfully blind as to the consequences of doping. The vast majority of the hundreds of distance runners pouring out of Kenya's high-altitude training grounds are not running for gold medals at the World Championships and the Olympics or for national pride. They are competing for paychecks first, running to get away from poverty. That's a really, really big thing, and I want to talk about that for a minute. When the Kenyans first started taking the championship places, first and second and third, they were making really good money, especially at the races. They would 10,000 here, 20,000 here, 50,000 here. They would get big amounts of money. That's a huge amount of money. So when a Kenyan from a small village in Africa wins $50,000, they go back to their village they don't just keep that money. That village, the whole village prospers. They give that money back to the village, and everyone in that village is rewarded. Everyone gets something. Everyone prospers from that runner. The average salary in Kenya is $7,000 per year. That's the average. So you know that the people in those little villages don't make $7,000 a year. They make much less than that. So if you win $50,000 from one race, everyone in that village is going to prosper. Everyone is going to benefit from you winning that race. That means a lot. That's huge to them. So that's why it's so important for them. And that's why, unfortunately, and I'm not accepting it. I'm not condoning it. I'm not saying it's okay, but that's why many, or I would say a few have turned to doping. And it's unfortunate because it hurts everyone involved. It's never the answer, but they want to take a shortcut and try to do it. And that, the desire to get out of that poverty takes over. It is unfortunate. And then there are always greedy, greedy people out there who will take advantage of that. And that's the sad part. I know it doesn't make it right, but it does happen. Kenya only established the National Anti-Doping Agency in 2016, which is really sad. They've only done it recently. It isn't that long ago. And considering it's been a dominant force in distance running for decades and has won the second most medals across the board in history of running behind the U.S. If you think about that, Kenya has won the second most medals across the board in running, second only to the U.S. So they only really are new in trying to stop doping. So hopefully they will catch up to this and do much better in the future as far as the doping, the anti-doping goes. They are increasing the funds to fight doping, and they know it is a national crisis, and they have pride in their country and have pride in their runners. So, but there is still a long ways to go. One of the brightest lights in Kenya's future is Kelvin Kiptum. He set a new world record for the marathon in Chicago in 2023. Now, I am not going to include Kipkoji's record because he didn't do it in a race. Yeah, it's faster. Okay. But he didn't do it in a race. He did it under pristine conditions with the people around him, you know, keeping off the wind and everything. But Kelvin Kiptum did it in a regular race, not just to set the record. He did it in a regular race, and that holds much more credence to for me. His time, 2 hours and 35 seconds. 2 hours, 35 seconds. That's amazing. We are 35 seconds away from going under 2 hours for a marathon in a race. That's incredible to me, and I know we'll do it. Will it be by a Kenyan? I can't say, but it wouldn't surprise me. I think that's pretty awesome. There will be much more light shown on Kenya as they produce more and more and faster runners. More light is good. Light shines in the corners and the rats have to scurry away. They have to go someplace else. And that is just fine. The evil poisoning the runners, they will have to leave as the country gets more attention, as the runners get more attention, and this is a good thing. This is why I say that I think the rise again is a good thing, and I think it's happening, and I think they're on the rise once more. They're not going to let the doping thing get them down. They're going to bring back up, and it's going to be a bright day again for Kenya. I see such positivity. I think the runners are amazing. They're inspiring. And I see nothing but goodness. All right. So I can't wait to see more amazing runners. Can't wait to watch more amazing things from this wonderful country. Now, as I record this, I'm packing for my trip. I leave tomorrow. I'm excited and I just can't wait to go. I really, really can't wait to go on this wonderful trip. And I will tell you all about it when I get home. I am going to be working almost the whole time. When I get there, I'm going to get to my hotel Thursday night. And Michael says, you'll be ready for work at 8 o'clock in the morning. I said, yes, sir, I will. 8 o'clock. Aye. So I'll be probably working from Friday morning up till Sunday morning. I do want to see a friend around lunch on Friday, so I'll take a couple hours off. But other than that, I probably won't get a whole lot of sleep. So it'll be pretty fun. I want to do that. I also really, though, I really, really want to see the Hoover Dam on Sunday afternoon if I can. So I'm going to try to do that. I'm also going to drive Monday morning. I'm going to get up early and go Monday morning. I'm going to drive to the Palm Desert. I reserved a little bit expensive hotel room and I'm going to chill out there. It looks really nice. I'm going to just relax and get a pizza or get some food in the hotel and just chill out there and just drive from home from there. So I won't be quite as long of a drive back home on Tuesday, but it's going to be a great trip. I am really looking forward to this. I just love driving. I also wanted to tell you about my physical therapy yesterday. It was really good. My physical therapist is the best. She's amazing. As I've said in the past, physical therapists are wizards. They are truly amazing. They perform magic. I love them. Yes, I do. I really, really do. And she gave me some exercises to do on the trip, so I'll do those as often as I can. And it feels pretty good. A little sore this morning, but I did work it pretty hard yesterday, so that's all right. And everything is going, and I'm going to get more mobile in my shoulder and arm. And yeah, it's going to be great. It'll be really fun. I figure I'm going to be walking through February and March, and by April, I'll probably start running again. And I have a couple races I want to do, but not first one June, and then no more until probably fall. But I'm not doing a lot of races. I'm just going to take it easy and see how things go this year and get back into really good shape. And just, I'm not going gung-ho like I did before my accident. That kind of freaked me out. So I'm going to take a little bit easier. I'm not stopping running. I'm not stopping trail running. I'm just going a little slower. To say, okay, Martha, just slow down. It's okay. You can slow down. It's all right. And that is the show. And thank you so much. And I will see you when I get back for my trip. And you guys have a wonderful, wonderful week and have great runs. And until next week, let's tie up our shoelaces and go for a run.